This is KFSK's Midday Magazine for Monday, August the 12th. I'm Angela Denning. Petersburg's tribe revealed its long-term transportation plan at a meeting Friday afternoon. It includes several trails and bike paths on Mitkoff Island. Here's more on that. Petersburg Indian Association's Tribal Transportation Program maintains several roads, trails, and sidewalks in and around Petersburg. The tribe uses federal funding for the projects and employs local tribal members to do the work. The tribe's long-term transportation plan looks at the next 20 years.
This is our guiding document for our transportation program.
Susan Harai is PIA's transportation director.
We put our hopes and dreams of everything we want to do in transportation in this document.
PIA Transportation Department employs two full-time workers and two temporary full-time employees in the summertime. The long-term plan prioritizes a few dozen proposals and puts safety projects at the top. Top projects include constructing a sidewalk along Howkin and 12th Streets, leading up to the Hammer and Wecon Grocery Store and Clickett and Haida Housing. Harai says that project is going out to bid soon. The tribe also plans to construct another sidewalk along Haugen Road between 12th Street and the post office. Also at the top of the list is building a 1,200-foot-long boardwalk trail near the assisted living facility, Mountain View Manor. The trail starts at 13th Street and will tie into the new Hungry Point Loop Trail.
The materials are here. They're in our back lot. And that, I hope we're going to start that this winter, depending on the weather and if it's open construction.
That means the project can be adjusted as the trail gets built. Another project coming up is constructing a sidewalk on Balder and Wrangell Avenues behind the auditorium near the middle school. Harai says it will help get kids safely around the tight turn in the road. She says the space is challenging.
It's going to be very hard to wiggle that sidewalk into that area. But we have looked at it and we think it can be done.
PIA also plans to work with the borough to upgrade sidewalks near the harbors. Also in the tribe's long-term transportation plan is a proposal to extend City Creek Trail about 3/4 of a mile all the way to the creek. Right now, a boardwalk runs about 800 feet from its start at Sandy Beach.
I've had bird watchers ask me, and they would like the trail to actually be closer to the beach so they could access that area and watch the birds. And so we were thinking of having the trail go from a boardwalk to a gravel trail to come out closer onto the beach line for part of the way, and then maybe come back in into the trees. But that's the plan right now, is that we'd actually design it to go along the beach.
PIA plans to make the beginning of the City Creek Trail ADA compliant. They're also considering having short connecting trails along the roadway so that people can get on and off the trail without having to go all the way to the creek. Another proposal would create a new loop to that trail, connecting it to the Reservoir Road. The new loop would run along the opposite side of the road, up to the old Ski Hill area, with views of Frederick Sound. The tribe is also looking into maintaining Greens Camp at the southern end of Mitkoff Island. PIA Council President Chris Morrison says they're working with the borough and hope to start annual maintenance next spring.
This year, the potholes are terrible. They are that way every year, but there's a lot of them this year, and we thought, gee, it would be nice if somebody was maintaining that road. The alders are growing over the road, and then there's also crowding on the road.
A new trail proposal that was in the works, that's been put on the back burner, is one connecting the south part of town to the existing trail system by the new fire station. The trail would have run about a mile from Severson Subdivision to Haugen Drive, bypassing downtown. The proposal has been brought up in past public meetings and has had residents for and against it. One stumbling block was the state's airport boundary, and Harai says the state won't give the tribe an easement.
So the trail would have to be on the borough land, and it will fit, but it's very, very tight, and it comes up closer to the residential areas. So that's why we haven't pursued that.
There are several projects in the 20-year plan that are years away from being designed. One would be constructing a bike path along Sandy Beach Road and North Nordic Drive. Another project is upgrading Cabin Creek Reservoir Road and building an overlook there with picnic tables and fire pits. The proposal would improve the last 3.5 miles, clearing out brush and widening the road in some areas. That project is dependent on a future grant. PIA also has a few proposed marine projects. One would be putting life jacket stands at Blackery and Banana Point boat launches. PIA is also giving out more information about their plans to open up a mini bus system this fall for seniors 60 and over and people with disabilities. The program is for the general public and not just for tribal members. It's expected to cost about $100,000 a year to operate. The mini bus is supposed to arrive next month and will be painted by local Native artist Janine Gibbons. Again, Chris Morrison.
I'm excited because Petersburg doesn't have this type of service yet, and I'm excited to see how it's going to develop. I think we're going to have a few kinks to work out, a few bumps in the road, if you will, but I think we will get it into full service very quickly.
There are no established routes for the bus, and it will run on an on-call basis. Riders will just need to make a reservation for pickup and for where they're needing to go. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning. And we've posted PIA's 39-page long-term transportation plan, along with this story on our website, kfsk.org. You can also find a draft code of ethics for the proposed bus system there. Or you could check us out on Facebook as well. The University of Alaska Board of Regents agreed on July 30th to consider a proposal to consolidate the university system. KCAW's Nina Sparling reports on what that move and the proposed budget cuts could mean for the UAS Sitka campus.
Governor Mike Dunleavy's line item veto in June eliminated $136 million in funding from the University of Alaska system. The Board of Regents will consider consolidating the university into a single accredited institution. It could be a way to help the UA system function with fewer resources. Chancellor Richard Caulfield discussed the future of the University of Alaska Southeast at a recent forum in Juneau.
I have to say that the 41% cut to our undesignated general fund was quite a dramatic reduction. The idea would be that instead of having two schools of management, one in Fairbanks and one in Anchorage, those programs would merge.
It's not the first time the university has considered consolidation. Caulfield says the realities of managing a big system in a big state have prevented such a merger previously. But this budget reality is different. UA President Jim Johnson asked the chancellors of each university to plan for a proportional reduction of the overall cuts. For UAS, that means $10 million.
It includes very likely reduction, for example, of some 40 different positions, faculty and staff here at UAS, along with a number of other reductions that would have to be made.
The Board of Regents declared financial exigency in July. In part, that means the university can dismiss faculty and staff on much shorter notice than normal circumstances allow. And for everyone involved, the uncertainty throughout the legislative process makes planning more difficult. Leslie Gordon is the campus director at UAS Sitka.
At this point, it's really hard to know exactly what that will mean because it's all kind of a plan and a concept.
That uncertainty comes from a few places. The state legislature passed a budget that restores much of the university funding, but it still awaits a signature from the governor. And the Board of Regents has yet to come up with a final plan for how it will manage the cuts, regardless of how severe they end up being. Chancellor Caulfield recognizes the big changes to come, but still can't say exactly what the landscape looks like.
So with all of this swirl of budget activity, I can just tell you the uncertainty has been very, very difficult for all of us, for students, for faculty, for staff, just simply not knowing what the budget will look like.
To top things off, the fiscal year is already a month underway. That means the university has to keep operating without knowing exactly what budget it has to work with. And that's been taking its toll on campus. What's the mood been like at the campus the past couple weeks?
That's a really good question. It's been, I think people feel uneasy, unsettled. I've heard people just say, I just want a decision. I want to know what's going to happen. I want to know what the future is.
But one thing Gordon is sure about,
fall semester is happening and going on as usual. We're still registering students. We're planning for fall semester.
Students can count on classes to attend in person or online this fall. The Board of Regents will consider consolidation strategies at its next meeting, mid-September. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Nina Sparling.
New species of deer are moving into parts of Alaska, including in the Upper Lynn Canal area. As Claire Strempel reports from Haines, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game is hoping to gather information on these newcomers from across the border. Whitetail and mule deer are not native to Alaska, but the state's Department of Fish and Game says they're colonizing the 49th state. That's starting in areas proximate to the Canadian border, where whitetails and mule deer are known to live. Carl Koch is an area wildlife management biologist in Juneau. He oversees the Upper Lynn Canal Game Management Unit, 1D.
See, for many years, even before I've had this job, we've had rumors of mule deer in the Skagway area, and even maybe a photo or two that folks weren't 100% sure whether they were mule deer or not.
In May, Koch got a photo that allowed him to identify a male mule deer in the Skagway area. According to a Fish and Game publication, mule deer have been seen in Fairbanks and even the North Pole. And Koch says the Parks Department has received reports of white-tailed deer near Haines. Haines resident Betsy Shiner saw a deer this year at Chilkat State Park.
I grew up in Michigan, and I grew up identifying deer daily. It was undoubtedly a white-tailed deer.
Shiner says she's seen thousands of white-tailed deer, including a couple of unfortunate deer-vehicle interactions. Smaller Sitka black-tailed deer are common in this area. You can tell who's who by watching their hindquarters. Mule deer have a large white patch on the rump, and the tip of their tails are black. White-tailed deer have broad tails that are white when raised. Both species are bigger than Sitka black-tailed deer. It's not unusual for animals to expand their range, but the Department of Fish and Game doesn't know why these deer are migrating, or what they're bringing with them. They're concerned deer from Canada may bring in wasting disease, or ticks. Since the department is eager to learn more about these populations, it's open season on all mule deer and whitetails. Carl Koch asks that hunters send photographs and samples, which is a nice way of saying big chunks of dead deer.
We would like to have them provide the head with the brain and skull intact, heart with lungs attached, the hoof, hide, and pellets. But they should feel free to give me a call so we can talk more about that stuff.
State hunting regulations say you have to call Koch before taking a deer, but he's got an update. He'd rather hunters go ahead and get the sample than let a deer go because they didn't have a chance to call. The department will return the meat and antlers. In Haines, I'm Claire Strempel.
Alaska's governor is seeking to tighten the rules for food stamp recipients. The Anchorage Daily News reported yesterday that Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration wants to implement federal work requirements for low-income adults who receive food assistance. The Republican governor's spokesman says the administration wants the change in order to, quote, comply with the spirit and intent of federal rules. The Food Bank of Alaska says the change will further heighten food insecurity at a time when assistance services are already strained by the governor's recent budget vetoes. And Alaska scientists say the chances of a polar bear encounter have increased after research reveals the bears are arriving on shore earlier and staying on land longer. The Anchorage Daily News reported this weekend that scientists with the U.S. Geological Survey found changes in sea ice habitat have coincided with evidence that polar bears' use of land is increasing. Biologists say the bears come from the Beaufort Sea during the ice melt season, when the ice breaks up in the summer and refreezes in the fall. And this wraps up KFSK's Midday Magazine. I'm Angela Denning. Thanks for listening. Coming up on KFSK, I'll have the updated weather forecast, community calendar events and announcements. Then it'll be Chuck Rose hosting Street Beat for us this afternoon at 2:35. High Country with Alec McMurrin. At 4 o'clock, it's NPR's All Things Considered. KFSK News at 4:30. At 6 this evening, news from around the state with Alaska News Nightly. At 6:30, Hodgepodge with Joseph Quitzland. At 9 tonight, Alt Latino. At 9:30, All Songs Considered. At 10, Radio Free Petersburg with Brian Varela. And at midnight, it's Public Radio Exchange Remix.
Support for this station comes from Alaska Commercial Electronics, with sales, installation, and service of marine electronics, including Furuno and Nobletech, in Petersburg since 1986. Alaska Commercial Electronics, 907-772-3893.
It is currently 63 degrees outside of the KFSK studios near downtown Petersburg. And here's the local forecast for Petersburg. We'll say there is rain in the forecast later this week. But starting with today, partly sunny skies, highs in the mid-60s. Tonight, mostly clear with lows around 50. Sunny tomorrow, highs in the mid-60s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with lows around 50. On Wednesday, cloudy, highs around 70. Southwest winds to 10 miles per hour. Mostly cloudy Wednesday night with lows in the mid-50s. There's a chance of rain for Thursday and Thursday night. Highs in the day around 70, lows in the mid-50s at night. And then rain is likely Friday through Sunday. Highs in the day, mid-60s to 70, and lows at night around 50. The Marine Weather Forecast Summary. A weak area of low pressure southwest of Haida Gwaii will persist through tonight before dissipating. High pressure will build in over the Gulf through Tuesday. For Frederick Sound, today, light winds becoming southwest 10 knots in the afternoon, seas at 2 feet or less. Tonight, west wind 10 knots in the evening becoming light, seas at 2 feet or less. Tomorrow, light winds becoming northwest 10 knots in the afternoon, seas at 2 feet or less. Tomorrow night, northwest wind 10 knots with seas at 2 feet or less. For Sumner Strait, today, light winds becoming west 10 knots in the afternoon, seas at 2 feet or less. Tonight, west wind 10 knots in the evening becoming light, seas at 2 feet or less. Tomorrow, light winds becoming west 15 knots in the afternoon, seas building to 3 feet. Tomorrow night, west wind 10 knots with seas at 2 feet or less. For Stevens Passage, today, light winds becoming south 10 knots in the afternoon, seas at 2 feet or less. Tonight, northwest wind 10 knots in the evening becoming light, seas at 2 feet or less. Tomorrow, northwest wind 15 knots, seas building to 3 feet. Tomorrow night, northwest wind 10 knots with seas at 2 feet or less. For Southern Chatham Strait, today, light winds becoming southwest 15 knots, seas building to 3 feet. Tonight, northwest wind 15 knots in the evening becoming light, seas at 3 feet, then 2 feet or less. Tomorrow, northwest wind 15 knots, seas building to 3 feet. Tomorrow night, northwest wind 15 knots with seas at 3 feet. For Clarence Strait, today, light winds becoming northwest 15 knots in the afternoon, seas building to 3 feet. Tonight, northwest wind 15 knots, seas at 3 feet in the evening, then 2 feet or less. Tomorrow, light winds becoming northwest 15 knots in the afternoon, seas building to 3 feet. Tomorrow night, northwest wind 15 knots, seas at 3 feet. And a quick look at outside waters, Cape Decision to Cape Edgecombe. For today, light winds becoming northwest 10 knots in the afternoon, seas at 3 feet. Tonight, northwest wind 10 knots, seas at 3 feet. Tomorrow, northwest wind 15 knots with seas at 3 feet. And tomorrow night, northwest wind 20 knots with seas at 5 feet. That's it for the weather forecast. We'll have community announcements coming up next.
Support for news on KFSK comes from Petersburg Rexall Drug Incorporated, family-owned and operated since 1969, serving the community's healthcare needs in Petersburg and Southeast Alaska. Available online at PetersburgRexallDrug.com and now on the Pocket RX mobile app for text-based prescription refills available 24/7.
Happy birthday to those born on August the 12th. Steve Tinas, Carrie Martinson, Amy Walsh, and Vivian Marsh. Happy birthday to you all. The Hospital Guild Charity Box is open Mondays throughout the summer from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The shop sells used items, including clothing, household items, and more. And the proceeds support the Petersburg Medical Center. Donations are welcome during open shop hours on Mondays. The Charity Box is located on First Street near Fram Street, next to the Visitor Center. The monthly PIA board meeting will be held today at 6 p.m. in the conference room in the Hallingstad-Paradovich building on 12th Street. Mitkoff Island Alcoholics Anonymous schedule for Monday. There's a women's meeting at 7 p.m. at the Presbyterian Church. For more information about AA, call 518-0061. Road closure announcement for Charles W. Street, closed at 1st Street for replacement of an underground fuel tank at the middle school. It's closed through the end of August, School faculty parking on Charles W. between 1st and 2nd will be unavailable. However, guest and handicap parking in front of the school remains open to the public. The Petersburg Borough Assembly meeting that was scheduled for August the 8th has been rescheduled to this Friday at 9 a.m., August 16th at 9 a.m. It will still take place in Borough Assembly chambers. KFSK will broadcast the meeting live. The Clausen Memorial Museum is hosting an artist's reception for Beth Floor's solo retrospective this Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. The show will remain on display through August the 30th. Filing for candidacy for the August 1st municipal election is open with a closing date of Tuesday, August the 20th at 4:30 p.m. You may file in the borough office on Nordic Drive. The election includes the mayor's seat, 2 on the assembly, 2 on the school board, 3 seats on the hospital board, 2 on planning and zoning, 2 on the harbor board, 3 on the library board, and 2 seats on public safety. Mitkoff Middle School cross-country team practice starts Tuesday, August 20th. Practices are Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5:15 p.m. at the middle school. More information with Coach Joe at 518-0379. The Tongass National Forest is seeking public input on a proposed amendment to the 2016 Tongass Land and Resource Management Plan to strengthen the transition from old to young growth timber harvest. The comment period runs through August 25th. For more information, contact Sue Jennings, 907-789-6238. Only those who submit comments during the comment period will be eligible to object to the proposed amendment. There will be a kayak camping trip for girls in grades 7 through 10 on Monday, August 19th through Thursday, August 22nd. The cost is free. For more information and to sign up, call Becky or Ashley, 772-3332. All food and supplies are provided. This is a trip to explore Castle Islands and Duncan Canal, providing instruction on safe sea kayaking with Forest Service employees. And KFSK's 50-50 raffle is underway. 100 tickets will be sold for $100 each. Then one winner will be drawn for a $5,000 prize. Tickets are on sale at Lee's Clothing and at Petersburg Rexall Drugstore. Tickets can also be purchased at KFSK, including by credit card. Thank you for supporting public radio here in Petersburg. And stay with us. Chuck Rose will be in to host Street Beat this afternoon. That'll be coming up after Fish Radio.
Support for programming on KFSK comes from Petersburg Properties, Sarah Holmgren and George Doyle, helping to buy, sell, or rent your real estate. Petersburg Properties, an office on Main Street, by phone at 772-6000, on Facebook at PetersburgProperties.com, and on popular national real estate search sites.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Small fish and whales take a bite out of the sable fish quota values. More after this.
It's not too late to order a new RSW system for this year. IMS has stock units ready throughout Alaska. Visit imspacific.com.
Grundin's new Deck Boss slip-ons, sandals, ankle highs, and boots are good for your work and good for your feet. Deck Boss boots. See the lineup at grundins.com.
As with halibut IFQs, quota shares of sablefish or black cod also have slumped in value, in some cases by 40%.
We've seen a pretty dramatic drop in IFQ prices there for Central Gulf. For instance, last year about this time, Central Gulf unblocked shares were trading at about $28 a pound. They're now trading for $17 a pound, so a drop of $11 a pound in a year, that's pretty significant.
Doug Bowen runs Alaska Boats and Permits in Homer. The sablefish stocks are soaring, but the bulk of the pack is small. A bigger problem, whales stealing sablefish off longline hooks.
The whales were causing havoc with them being able to get them on board, and then when they did get them on board, they were just so small they weren't making expenses.
Olivia Olson is with Alaskan Quota and Permits in Petersburg. Olson says it's a good time to buy if you can afford to wait on a good return.
In the next 4 years or so, things should be moving up in quota and in the size of the fish, so it's a good time to buy in, but they're going to have to be able to carry it for a couple of years before they're going to come out ahead on the other end, I think, on the black cod.
Overall, Olson calls the black cod quota outlook wait and see.
I think that...